All right. Anything else? Okay. If everyone will stand, Randy's going to bring our message today. And if you'll please stand while he comes and brings us, starts with a word of prayer.
Thank you, Brother Jim. We can all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we thank you for allowing us to congregate together, to fellowship, as your word says. We pray, Father Yahweh, that you may be with those we've listed in the prayer request, especially Sister Mansager. Be with her and help her recover and get beyond the injuries so that she may make a full recovery. And once again, praise and thank you. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given us and the blessings that you've showed and the compassion and the forgiveness. We pray that you may be with us and help us to overcome, help us to strive to follow your will. Be with us, Father Yahweh. We pray that you may never forsake us, but help us when we do backslide, when we do fall. We pray that you may show compassion and forgive us and help us back on that path. And Father Yahweh, we pray that the message spoken today may be from your inspiration, may be from your words, and that many would benefit. And we ask this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day. I'd also like to welcome our guests. It's been a long time since I've seen many of you, including Brother Caleb. He's been gone for quite a few weeks. If I would go door to door in the typical neighborhood and ask, where do we find true fulfillment? What do you think the responses would be? What would people say? You know, some people might say careers. Others might say relationships. Some might say personal satisfactions. Others might say wealth. But I can guarantee you few would say religion. Some here, maybe more than California, but few would say religion. Few would say religion is where we find happiness, fulfillment, purpose in life. You know, Daniel in his prophecy said that in the latter days, men would run to and fro. And I think we're seeing this fulfilled in today's day and age. This running to and fro without purpose is all too common. By and large, people today have abandoned religion as a source of fulfillment, the source of purpose, the source of happiness. And it shows. It shows in our culture. It shows in how people live. It shows in how people worship. It shows the morality of this culture. People today want to live without restraint, without rules, without restriction. Many believe that they don't need Yahweh, that they don't need Him telling them what to do, how to live, that they can do better on their own, that they can do better without Him. This nation that we live in has all but forsaken the truth of Yahweh's word. You know, years ago in this nation, you could hear almost from every pulpit in this nation strong, passionate messages on morality. But now we hear messages on health, wealth, and prosperity, how we can get ahead. It's all about me. Religion today focuses not on how we can please our Father in heaven, but on how our Father in heaven can please us, what He can do for us. It's all about us. Everything in this nation is self-centered, self-focused. You know what's ironic about all this is that the more we move away from Yahweh's word, the more we forsake Him, the more miserable and oppressed we are, I believe, as a people. I don't believe that a people of this nation have ever been so depressed and unhappy and miserable as we are now. So many people are lost and confused with absolutely no direction whatsoever. Millions of people a year spend countless fortunes on motivational seminars and self-help courses with never achieving their goal, never achieving what they're looking for, what they're yearning. I know people like this, people who have forsaken sound, biblical truth for the deception and lust of this world. These people think that they can find a fulfillment outside of Yahweh's word, but many, most, quickly realize that this isn't possible. There's one place, there's one source where we find our fulfillment, and that source is Yahweh's word. Beyond that, there is no other fulfillment. There's a peace and purpose that can be found only within this book. Only within this book. You know, you can search your entire life searching elsewhere for this truth, for this fulfillment, and end up short, coming short, having a futile search. I find it sad that so many people today live in misery when they could have the truth of Yahweh's word. It's right here. It's accessible to all of mankind. But this nation rejects that truth. This nation, the Sabbath, I want to consider what Yahweh's word says about peace, happiness, fulfillment, and purpose. This is a topic that is misconstrued by many ministers today. Again, it's all about me, and it's not all about me. It's not all about us. Shouldn't be anyway. Yahweh wants us to have peace and a purpose in what we do, but he wants the purpose to be a right purpose, a right focus. You know, unlike the millions who are aimlessly searching for this purpose, I don't need a motivational seminar to give me purpose, a fulfillment in what I do. I have a purpose, I have a fulfillment, I have a peace. And you know what? It's found right here in the promise and truth of Yahweh's word. I don't need a prominent career. I don't need popularity. I don't need great wealth, as so many people do, to have a purpose. I have a purpose. It's found in this book. The same should hold true for all of you here. This is our purpose. As Yahweh's people, there should be no reason to venture out of this book for fulfillment, for purpose, for happiness, for peace. Again, it's found right here in Yahweh's word. Turn to Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. I'd like to open up there this morning. Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. Let's find what Yahweh says about purpose, peace, fulfillment, happiness. Psalms chapter 37, verse 1 says, "Fret, worry not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make your righteousness to go forth as a light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek, the humbled, shall inherit the land, and they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Here we see the contrast between those who put their faith in their Father in heaven, those who put it in Yahweh, those who deny him, those who rebel against his word. In multiple places here do we see Yahweh defining the promises of the righteous, those who follow him. Now notice one promise we find here. Yahweh promises that if we delight in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. Now let's spend a few moments looking at this passage here. Does the desires of our heart include selfish wants? For example, great wealth. Most ministers would read this passage and they would make the connection of prosperity, great wealth, riches in this life. You know, if our desire is great wealth or some other selfish, self-centered want, then it's not in line with Yahweh's word. And as James would say, we're asking amiss. You see, a man or woman of Yahweh won't make it their goal to hoard, I believe, such selfish wealth. It's not going to be their goal. Remember that Yahweh says that we're to be more concerned about the other person more than our own needs. And I think that's an important truth, an important concept, something not only to understand, but also to implement. So if we're focused on Yahweh, focused on those around us, as we should be, then we won't be focused on our own selfish needs. This is an attribute, I believe, that shows separation between those who follow Yahweh and those who follow the flesh. When it comes to Yahweh's people, they're more concerned about the needs of others, or should be anyway. And when it comes to those who follow the flesh, and we're all familiar with these people, they're more concerned about achieving self-glorification, self-gratification. It's all about me. It's all about me and what I can achieve, what I can accomplish. You see, when we come to the truth, we must adopt a different mindset. We must have a different outlook. It's all about change. Now notice what else we find here in this passage. Yahweh says that those who trust in Him, that He will bring it to pass. Now again, we need to understand that Yahweh is not referring to promises of great wealth, prestige. He's referring to blessings that money or man cannot buy or bring. This is what our culture is missing. You know, there's a fulfillment that Yahweh's word offers that no amount of money, no prestige, no popularity can bring. Simply cannot be found in this world. I believe without a doubt that these people who search and search and search and search and search for some life fulfillment or purpose would find what they're looking for right here in Yahweh's word if they would only be willing to change and accept Yahweh's word for what it is. But again, before they would find this purpose, they must be willing to change. They must be willing to turn from their sin, turn to Yahweh's word. You see, we can't go on as life before if we reap the blessings of Yahweh's promises. We can't do it. We have an obligation as Yahweh's people to change, to seek Him. Now notice one other point here. Notice what Yahweh says about the wicked. Number one, Yahweh says, don't worry about the wicked. Not in this life. Don't worry about them. Number two, He says, don't be envious of the wicked. Don't envy their ways. And number three says, don't worry about when they seem to prosper. For He says, in the end, when all is said and done, they will be cut off. You know, some people don't understand why good things happen to bad people. Understand that for the time being, we all have a free will. Yahweh's removed that curse of the law. We all have a free will to either accept or deny our Father in heaven, but understand one essential point. Understand one crucial and key point, and that is this, that our decision now will impact us for the rest of time. It's not a decision for today. It's not a decision for tomorrow, the next year, the next 10 years, the next 50 years. It's a decision that will impact us the rest of time, what we do now. If we choose to ignore Yahweh's word or pursue our flesh, then we'll reap the curse of that choice. Remember what Paul said. Paul said that what a man sows, he will also reap. This is true for the righteous and true for the wicked. If we sow righteousness, we will reap Yahweh's kingdom. If we sow rebellion, we'll reap destruction. We'll reap perdition. We will be cut off, as Yahweh says. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is an amazing book. It's known for the messianic prophecies found within. It offers hope, not only to Israel, but also to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting Elohim Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. You know, this world only understood this one point. There is no searching of His understanding. He is so far greater than us. And if we only understood that truth, we would obey. He gives power to the faint, to them that has no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. If we put our faith in our Father in heaven, then as we find here, we'll reap the blessings of His word. Yahweh says here that those who rely on Him won't faint, won't worry, but will stand in strength. Now, I don't believe that Yahweh here is talking on physical terms only. What He's saying is this, if we put Him first, if we follow Him, He will pour forth His blessings upon us and give us a purpose and fulfillment far beyond anything else we can find in this life. Even though sometimes in life things don't go the way we plan, you know, sometimes we can go through some horrific things, injuries or whatever it is. But you know, He always has a way to see us through, doesn't He? He always sees us through. You know, we can go back and think about the trial of Job, how Job suffered. He suffered tremendously, lost all that he had, family, wealth. He had nothing. You know, even though he suffered, in the end, Job stood strong because of his faith, because of his reliance in his Father in heaven, nothing got Job down. Job kept on going. Even though he cursed the day of his own birth, he kept on going. No matter what the persecution or trial we might go through, Yahweh promises to give us strength and endurance. He promises to be with us. This type of faith and devotion, again, offers the greatest purpose, the greatest fulfillment, the greatest reason for being, the greatest reason for life that we can find. There's not a greater calling than for what we find here in Yahweh's Word. Think about it. Where else can we find the purpose we find through Yahweh's truth? Can we find this same fulfillment in our careers? A lot of people try. Can we find it in our wealth? Can we find it in our families? Can we find it in our hobbies? No. We can only find it in Yahweh's Word. You know, like so many of you, I've seen the other side, to know that there's one place and one place only where we find true fulfillment and happiness, and that's through the pages of this book, Yahweh's Word. That's where we find fulfillment. For me, there's not a greater purpose, a greater satisfaction than knowing that I'm following Yahweh's Word. That gives me a purpose. That gives me a reason for being, a reason for living, following Him. Nothing even comes close to bringing me what I consider true fulfillment and purpose than for molding my life according to His will. And I hope all of you feel the same way and find your fulfillment in His Word and His promises. Turn to Philippians. You know, a man who understood this and had a tremendous amount of faith, purpose, fulfillment through Yahweh, through Yahshua, was the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, but says, "But I rejoice in Yahweh greatly, that now at length you have revived your thought for me, in which you did indeed take thought, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content in it. I know how to be abased, I know how to be abound, in everything and in all things have I learned the secret both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to want." Now notice 13 here says, "I can do all things in Him that strengthens me." Now we see here one of the best examples of being content and finding a purpose through Yahweh's promises, I believe. Paul said here that he knew what it was to be abased. He knew what it was to abound. Meaning he knew what it was to have little and he knew what it was to have much. Paul went on to say that he found his strength, he found his fulfillment, he found his purpose, he found his reason for living, he found the reason for everything he did in his Father in heaven. That's where he found his purpose. For Paul, purpose and fulfillment wasn't found in what he had or what he was going through, but was found in Yahweh's promises, what was to come. You see, Paul could have been in any number of situations, circumstances, I believe, and been content in them all. Paul's an example for us. Like Paul, it shouldn't matter what situation we find ourselves in. Shouldn't matter the tribulation, the trial, the problem. We should be content and find purpose through them all. You see, Paul wasn't focused on this life, and here's the key. He was focused on the life to come. He was future-focused. Future-focused. I believe that's one problem we have now that we're guilty of. We're not future-focused. We're not focused on what's important. We're focused on all the trivial things of life, even us here. We're not focused on what really counts. We're focused on the trivial things of life, and what happens as a result is this. We lose sight of what really counts. We cloud our purpose, our fulfillment we find through Yahweh's Word, instead of seeing the purpose we have now in Yahweh's future kingdom. We give thought to the trivial things of life, to the house, to the career, to whatever it is, to the now. For example, instead of finding purpose and living for Yahweh and striving for His future kingdom, we instead focus on that big career, that big promotion, that wealth, and all because, I believe, a lack of faith. You see, faith has a big part in our happiness, our fulfillment has a big part. If our faith is lacking, so will our happiness and purpose in Yahweh's Word. There's a connection there. There's a connection. We need to have faith in Yahweh. It says it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith, Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible. We know that for Paul, faith wasn't a stumbling block. Paul had a tremendous amount of faith in his Father in heaven. And for that reason alone, I believe he had a purpose. He had a fulfillment. He had a reason for living. You see, through faith, he found his purpose, fulfillment, and happiness. And this same thing applies to you if we have this same focus. I know this message might sound simplistic, but you know, a lot of people struggle with this, trying to find a purpose, trying to find a fulfillment, trying to find a direction, trying to find something in life to latch on to. For me, I've found it. It's Yahweh's Word. But I know a lot of people who are still looking for this fulfillment, who are still looking for this purpose, and have yet to find it, and maybe never will. They never will. You see, through our faith, we find purpose. We find our fulfillment. We find our happiness through the truth we hold. Instead of always focusing on the here and now in this life, we need to focus on what awaits us in the kingdom, what awaits us in the future. Instead of focusing on our careers, on our wealth, on our money, on our families, we need to focus first on Yahweh's truth and the promise of his kingdom. Always. Turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Another epistle by Paul, and here's what Paul says. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inward man. Notice he's speaking to the inward man here. That the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height in depth, and to know the love of the Messiah which passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of Yahweh. Paul here admonishes the assembly in Ephesus to seek to apprehend the truth and promise of Yahweh's word, for he says that through this truth, through this promise, do we find the fullness of Yahweh. Now, what is this fullness of Yahweh? What did Paul mean when he said the fullness of Yahweh? It's an important concept here. Fullness of Yahweh. The word fullness here comes from the Greek word pleroma. It means a completion, a fulfillment, to be full. That's what the Greek word means. You see, through Yahweh's truth do we find our completion, our fulfillment, our reason for being, through his truth. So many people today are searching for this purpose, for this fulfillment, with never achieving their goal. If they only understood the fulfillment that comes from Yahweh's word. Again, I've seen people forsake all that they had, including their own faith, family, everything, for the hope of finding purpose and fulfillment outside of Yahweh's word. They thought that through their career, through their wealth, through their possessions, that they would find the fulfillment they were looking for. But the sad truth is, most of these people go on to live a lonesome and miserable life. They never find that fulfillment because you can't find it. It's not there. Simply not there. The bottom line is this: true fulfillment, purpose, and happiness cannot and will not be found in this world. It won't do it. If we're searching for these attributes here and now, we're setting ourselves up for failure and disappointment. When it comes to the purpose and fulfillment we find through Yahweh's word, we need to understand one important point. And that is, if we want to achieve this purpose and fulfillment, then we must seek him first and above all else. I see too much lukewarm worship today from even Yahweh's own. I'm telling you now that if we dabble, if we're lukewarm, we'll never find this fulfillment, this purpose that only comes from our Father in heaven. This isn't a catchphrase, purpose, fulfillment. This is a completion we find inside through Yahweh's word. And we find it by making a complete devotion to our Father in heaven. You see, we too must put forth some effort, some devotion, if we will achieve this purpose in life. Yahweh doesn't do it all for us, contrary to popular belief. Anything worth anything takes time and effort in life. We know that. We know that. Fulfillment in Yahweh's word is no different. If we're not dedicated and devoted to our Father in heaven now, then the shallow effort that we put forth is of no purpose. We must, as Paul said, apprehend the truth, which, by the way, in the Greek means to take eagerly. Take eagerly. That's what Paul was saying. Take eagerly the truth. In other words, there's no time to waste. We must do it now. Make that dedication now. Another important sought-out attribute, I believe, comes only from Yahweh's word, and that is peace. Seems everybody would like to have peace today, and many people search for peace, and many people come up short. What does Yahweh's word say about peace? How does he define peace? Let's find out. Turn to, with me to Psalms 29:11. Psalms chapter 29, verse 11. There's a lot of truth here in Psalms, prophecy and moral truths. 29, verse 11, Psalm of David. He says, Yahweh will give strength to his people. Yahweh will bless his people with peace. So number one, what do we find here? We find the source of peace, where it comes from. Yahweh says here that he blesses his people with peace. Now what does this word peace mean? The word peace here comes from the Hebrew word shalom. We're all familiar with this. And it means safe, happy, prosperity, and friendly. That's what the word shalom means in Hebrew. I believe that these attributes are the reason for peace. When we feel, for example, safe, when we feel and have happiness, when we are prosperous in Yahweh's word. And again, there's a difference between prosperous in the world and prosperous in career and prosperous in wealth. I'm not talking about that type of prosperous. I'm talking about the prosperous that counts, that has some value. But when we have these attributes, we have peace. Now, notice that all these attributes are from Yahweh, not man. It's an important point. It's important to understand that the attributes of peace cannot be found in man or what man does, but is found in Yahweh and his truth. As it is with purpose and fulfillment, true peace isn't found in what we have. It isn't found in what we accomplish now. It's found in the future. You know, we could think of the most serene place on the face of this planet and still not have the peace that we have through this word. The peace that we find in this passage is unique to our Father in heaven and his people, those whom he calls. In other words, it can't be found outside of his word, and his promise can't be found. Again, there's a lot of people searching for this peace that will never find what they're looking for because they're looking in all the wrong places. No different from finding fulfillment of purpose, finding this peace requires a sincere, uncompromising devotion to our Father in heaven. If we compromise the values that we find in the Word, if we refuse to give up old carnal habits, then we won't be able to achieve this peace. We won't be able to find the peace in Yahweh's Word. For example, you know, we can look at King Saul in the Old Testament, and we know in the beginning he was humbled. I believe he had peace. He had many of the qualities that we would look to for good leadership today. You know, but as time continued for Saul, he rejected Yahweh's command. He developed a hatred and jealousy for David and eventually caused his own death by falling on his own sword. Once he allowed that hatred and jealousy to take root in his heart, he was constantly tormented within him. We know that David was brought in and David calmed that spirit through his playing. But we know that once he allowed that jealousy, once he went against Yahweh's word, he lost that humility. He lost those attributes of good leadership. He lost that peace he once had. Again, if we'll achieve this peace, we need to completely dedicate our lives now. There's no time to waste to our Father in heaven. You know, I've seen a lot of different people in the assemblies throughout my life. I've basically been raised in the faith for the most part. I've seen a lot of people, and there are certain people that never totally commit to their Father in heaven. And it shows. It shows in their worship. It shows in their dedication. It shows in their devotion. It shows in their personal life. It shows in their families. It shows. But on the other hand, there's a select few who totally commit to Yahweh. And you know, you see a great peace and purpose in their lives. You do. It's amazing the peace that some people have in Yahweh's truth. You know, for these people, this peace isn't found in what they have or the situation they find themselves in. It's found in their reliance. It's found in their faith. It's found in their devotion to Yahweh, to their Father in heaven. This is the same peace David had and writes about here in Psalms 29:11. Turn to Philippians now. Back to the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, sometimes we walk around gloomy, depressed. But Yahweh's word here says that we should always rejoice. It's not always easy to do, but I think we should strive to be positive and strive to rejoice in the truth we have. Verse 5, let your forbearance be known to all men. Yahshua's at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in the Messiah, Yahshua. Paul says here that if we seek Yahweh with prayer and supplication, if we seek Him with all our heart, if we seek Him in our devotion, dedication, we'll receive the peace that passes all understanding. The peace of Yahweh's word is so different, I believe, from the peace we find in this world, we hear about in this world. You know, while the peace of this world is short-lived, we might have peace for a day, might have peace for an hour, maybe peace for a whole week. I haven't had that yet, but I'm sure maybe it happens. But it's short-lived. It's short-lived. Yahweh's peace is eternal and always present, I believe. This type of peace that we read about here, that passes all understanding, I believe, is always present. It's a type of peace that allows you to look death in the eye without fear. You know, this week a well-known minister died, and I'm sure I'm going to misquote what he said, but he said something like, whether I live or die, I will be victorious. And I thought that was certainly a great show of faith. Man, did it matter whether he lived or died? He was content. He had a purpose. He had a fulfillment. And he was ready. You know, it's a type of peace that allows you to continue on no matter what problem or persecution might arise. Someone once said that peace that Yahshua gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that He is there with you always. There's a difference. It's a type of peace that gives you continual comfort no matter what pain you might be suffering. This peace isn't designed by a possession or environment, not by what we have or where we're at, but by Yahweh's indwelling spirit, the truth we hold inside. Again, it's a peace that comes only from Yahweh Himself. All other peace, you might say, is a loose counterfeit, short-lived. It isn't the peace that we find from Yahweh's word. So far, we've looked at what it means to have fulfillment, purpose, happiness, and peace. Now I'd like to focus on what I consider to be the number one reason why these attributes aren't found, why people are unable to achieve these attributes, and that is for the love of money. Now understand that the love of money encompasses not only physical money, but also things that we do that are motivated by money. Matter of fact, in our capitalistic society, it's hard to name one thing that's not driven by money, by mammon. I sat down with a brother in the faith a few months ago, and we were talking about things not connected with money, not driven by money. We couldn't name one thing, because when you get down to the root, it's all driven by the almighty dollar. It's all driven by money. Almost everything in this world, especially here in this nation, we're one of the worst, is driven by the almighty dollar. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. This is my favorite Old Testament book. It has so much wisdom. Some people find it depressing, but here we have a book written by the most wise man during that time, the exception of Yahshua. And he's pouring out his wisdom to us. I think there's a lot we can learn here, a lot of trouble we can save ourselves if we're willing to listen, willing to obey. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He that loves silver shall never be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. With goods increase, they are increased that eat them.
And what advantage is there to the owner ever save the beholding of them with his eyes? To sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the fullness of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Now there's two important truths here I want to focus on. The first one is this. If it is our goal to accumulate wealth or money, we will never be satisfied. Let me say it again another way. If our reason for living is to accrue money, we will never be content with what we have. I've seen so many people fall for this deception. I've seen so much hurt because of nothing more than the love of money. People who make this their goal don't understand how it enslaves, how it brings a yoke of bondage. Paul said that we could be either a slave to Messiah or a slave to sin. But we will be a slave to something. The same thing is true about money. We can either serve money or we can serve Yahweh. When a person makes money their main focus, they lose all sense of what's really important. For this reason alone, it is impossible to love money and to have the fulfillment and peace that we find through Yahweh's word. We simply cannot do it. You see, we can't have both. We can have one or the other, but not both. Yahshua said that we could not serve both money, mammon, and Yahweh. Can't do it. Can't be done. We must choose one or the other, but again, not both. Now, my second point is this. More money, more wealth, more possessions equate to more worry, more concern, and more apprehension. I've seen it, not in my own life, but I've seen it in others. Solomon said again here that the fullness of a rich man will not suffer him or allow him to sleep. You know, I have to admit that when I lived in Tulsa, 10 years ago, working for $7 an hour in my empty apartment, including my cupboards and refrigerator, in some ways I was more at peace. Certainly had less to worry about. I can vouch in my own life that the more I have, the more I seem to worry about things unnecessary. In some ways, I wouldn't mind living more simple, going without sometimes, depending maybe more on my Father in heaven. Don't be deceived. You know, even the best can become clouded by unneeded possessions. All of us can. None of us are exempt. Even the most dedicated can become callous to things like the love of money. I've seen it done. If we're not watching for these things, we can fall for the deception of the evil one. We must stay alert. Must stay alert. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. This is probably the key passage when we talk about money and the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Paul says, "But holiness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be content with that." Now let's stop here for just a moment and think about what's being said. Paul said here that holiness with contentment was great gain. What does Paul mean by this? What Paul is saying here is this. There's a great advantage, a blessing, putting holiness or righteousness first and being content or satisfied with what we have. Not always wanting more and more and more and more. And that's what happens. When we make that our goal, we're never satisfied. Paul went on to say that we should be content with only food and shelter, only food and covering. So according to Paul, we should be completely satisfied with food to eat and a roof over our head. Now, how many Bible-believing folks in this nation do you think would be content with what Paul is talking about here? How many? If I had to guess, not very few. Most of us, including many of us, are spoiled and would certainly probably complain and grumble if we did not have our modern conveniences. We've become acclimated. We've become part of this world in some ways, and for some of them, it's for the worse. As Yahweh's people, we need to focus on things of value, things that count, things that have a real cost. Again, remember what Solomon said about the rich man. Solomon said that he suffers sleep because of his riches. He can't sleep. He can't find a rest because he's constantly worried about what he has. If we're content with only food and shelter and put Yahweh first, we'll then find, I believe, the fulfillment, the purpose, the happiness, the peace that we're talking about today. If we're content with these things, we can't be focused on these things of vanity, things that don't count, things that have real no value to them. They're here for 100 years and they're gone. You know, Solomon says that the next generation doesn't remember the previous generation. Our life here is so short, and things we have here is for such a short time. And if we make that our focus and our goal, we're headed for disappointment, I'm telling you now. Let's take a look at verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. Here's what the Amplified Bible says. "But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, useless, unrighteous, and hurtful desires that plague men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs." So what do we find here? This is perhaps the most compelling passage with the love of money. Paul says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now notice the progression that Paul talks about here. Paul says it begins where? In the mind. We are minded to be rich. It begins in the mind. So like any other sin, the love of money begins first in the mind, first in the inside, then progresses to the outside. Paul says when this happens, many fall into a temptation and a snare that causes hurt and pain. Even during Paul's ministry did some depart from the faith for the love of money. Ultimately, Paul says that this then leads to what? What did he say? Destruction, perdition. We're cut off from Almighty Yahweh when we make money our goal, when we seek money above the truth. And you know, there's a lot of people doing this. Some even in the faith. We need to really focus and look within ourselves and ask, where is our focus? Where is our goal? What are we searching for today? Again, I've seen it firsthand. I've witnessed with what the love of money can do, not only to a person, but even to a marriage. Do you know that statistically most fights in a marriage are over money, over finances? Do you know money can ruin a marriage like nothing else can? You know, all throughout Scripture do we have passages warning about the abuse of money. Money is so easily abused. So easily can it cause, as Paul said, many foolish and hurtful lusts. Now understand one key point. Money on its own is not sin. It becomes sin only when we make it our focus. Only when we make it our focus. Again, we make money our focus, we lose sight of what's important. We allow it to distort the truth. This is why it's so important that we understand the pitfalls of money and guard against its influence. If we make money our goal again, we will never be able to achieve true fulfillment, I believe, purpose, happiness, peace. All that we find only from Yahweh's word. It is absolutely essential that we understand how and what money does, if allowed. Turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. I want to read just an account here. Sapphira and Ananias, most of us are probably familiar with this story. But I want to show you what happens when we make money our goal. When we put money above Almighty Yahweh, what happens when we do this? Turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. What happens when we put money before Almighty Yahweh? Verse 1, chapter 5 of Acts. "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being knowledgeable of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land. You see, he wasn't lying to man. He was lying to Almighty Yahweh. You know, sometimes we think that our commitments are to man, but ultimately we make those commitments to our Father in heaven. And here, Peter says, why are you trying to lie against the Holy Spirit to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, it remained, did it not remain yours, your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your power? How is it that you have conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to Yahweh. And that just shows the seriousness of vows, of keeping a promise. If we say something, we should follow through with it. And here we see the seriousness of neglecting that, especially here with the situation. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him round, and they carried him out and buried him. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to try the Spirit of Yahweh? Behold, the feet of them that have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the whole assembly and upon all that heard these things. So we see here the curse, the punishment of what happens when we make money our goal, when we move the focus, when we move our goal from Yahweh to wealth, to possession. It will lead to our destruction. This might be somewhat of an extreme example, but I'm telling you, if we allow money to become our goal, we will someday be living this example. That's why it's so important that we watch. I want to close with Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 5. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For himself has said, I will in no way fail you, neither will I in any manner forsake you. So that with good courage we say, Yahweh is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do to me? This passage reiterates what we saw from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here the writer of Hebrews says that we're to be free from the love of money and be content where we're at in life. Be content with what we have. The word free here means to be without covetousness, not to be greedy. We're not to covet money. We're not to covet wealth. We're not to be greedy with mammon. We're to be content with what we have. We're to be satisfied where we're at. Now notice what else we find here. We find that if we put him first, Yahweh first, that he won't fail us, that he won't disappoint us, that he won't forsake us. He will be there. And that's the guarantee, that's the reason we have the fulfillment, have the purpose that we have through his truth, because we know what we have. And that is Almighty Yahweh by our side. And there's not a greater promise. There's not a greater promise. There's not a greater reward now or in the future. And that's why we have the fulfillment. If our lives are right with Almighty Yahweh, he will see us through, no matter what trial, no matter what tribulation, no matter what we come against, no matter how bad the problem might be, he will see us through. Remember that if we're content with what we have, and if we make him our goal, we'll achieve, I believe, the greatest purpose, the greatest fulfillment a person can find. Again, the purpose, fulfillment, happiness, and peace we find through Yahweh's word cannot and will not be rivaled by anything of man. If we're willing to put Yahweh first, if we're willing to be content with what we have, if we're willing and able to overcome our old carnal man, then I believe we'll achieve this great purpose and peace in Yahweh's word. Let's not be deceived by the pulls and lusts of this world. Let's be smart. Let's be alert. Let's be watchful and know that what awaits us is far greater than anything we can achieve here and now. May Yahweh bless you all.